Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we have Tracy with us. So Tracy, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi there, my name's Tracy Fence, and I have had all the same trauma as everybody else, and I also help people get over their own trauma, so I've kind of used mine for the good of other people.
Lived experience trumps everything, in my opinion. So I mean, yes, the theory is great, but I think once you've walked through it and been able to manage, you know, the residual impacts of trauma, you are definitely in a place through your healing journey to help someone else. So Tracy, why don't you tell us your story to and through Survival Mode?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is that my trauma is mostly the little trauma rather than big trauma like being attacked or being in a terrorist attack or a horrific accident or anything like that. Mine's more like the everyday trauma, but it started when I was a child and I was adopted at birth, and I always knew that I was adopted at birth. And my adoptive parents got divorced and remarried and then had other children. So straight away, I bounced through all this uncertainty, which as a small child is not what you need when you're trying to figure out who you are as a person. And the other thing I had was very critical parents. So nothing was ever good enough. I constantly felt like I was doing a bad job, or I wasn't lovable, I wasn't good enough. And that really undermined my confidence. And then bouncing around between my parents, that was traumatizing as well, because I didn't have any roots, I didn't feel secure. And I kind of was always feeling like everything was my fault because I had a parent that liked to be the martyr and dump all their rubbish on me. And then I finally managed to run away from home. I always say my parents ran away to Yorkshire and left me, and I ran off to Kent. And that was really the liberation. I did have some more big trauma not long after that. I was dating someone that I met who was in hospital with a spinal injury. And I watched them actually literally die a couple of times. And I was only 17. So that was major stuff to deal with when I'd got no support net. It's not big stuff in the scheme of things, but it was at such pivotal ages. It wrecked my confidence, it wrecked my self-belief. I didn't think I was a good person. And all of that made me make wrong decisions going forward, wrong partners, wrong jobs, wrong personal life. And when there's so much coming at us in a short space of time, it kind of layers up. And I just found that I was so busy just trying to get through life. I wasn't dealing with the stuff that had been thrown at me. And then I had a couple of really bad relationships, bad as in poor choices. They weren't abusive or anything. And that kind of compounded more of the trauma. And then I was really lucky because I met really great people that helped me start dealing with all of that trauma that I'd been through and start emerging as the person I wanted to be. And I really don't think I would have done that without having those people around me to ground me and anchor me and help me feel safe to be able to deal with that trauma.
Having the right community around you is so essential, and it does help with the navigation of the things that we've been through. What did the steps look like for you coming out of that state of navigating the residual impacts of the trauma that you experienced?
Okay, so the first thing I had to do was break that story that I was telling myself. I'm not good enough. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat worms, you know, because it's easy to get trapped in that narrative where everything in our life is reinforcing that story that we've been telling ourselves. So I had to stop that and go, right, that's who I was. This is where I'm at now. And now I can be anyone I want. I can do what I want. And I can do it for me. I don't have to people please. And who do I want to be? And actually, that was the hardest thing because it was like, well, I don't like who I've been, but who the hell am I? And again, luckily, I met some great people when I moved to Herne Bay here in Kent. And I've been here nearly 30 years now. And I met some amazing people, and they really helped me to be me. They didn't have expectations. They didn't know who I was prior to me moving here. So they were happy for me to be whoever I needed to be. And that was really liberating. And when I'm coaching people, that's something that I do encourage them to do is find the right people to have around them that are going to support them. Because if you're trying to give up something and all your social crowd doesn't want you to give it up, that's really hard, whether it's smoking, drinking, victimhood, whether it's poor behavior choices, you know, the people we're with can actually lock us in position, which is a nightmare.
Absolutely. I mean, we can't heal in the environments that hurt us in the first place, nor can we heal if we don't remove ourselves from the environments that force the negative narratives that we often pick up as a result of being traumatized. And when I talk about accident survival mode, I say it happens in three phases. You spoke about two. Like, so I say it's self-awareness. We can't change what we can't see. Then it's the reprogramming, challenging the narratives that we hold for ourselves. And I believe that a reinvention is also needed as well, because the person who we become in order to survive is often completely different than the person that we become in order, I said that incorrectly. The person that we become in order to survive is inherently different than the person that we later grow into from a thriving state. And that is because we put down the narratives, we challenge our thought processes, and we also create scenarios that are slightly different. Like you kind of spoke to it earlier about how, you were just doing things, like you w were just putting yourself in certain circumstances. When you heal, when you're able to rewrite your narratives, when you're able to challenge your beliefs, those decisions that you previously made change as well.
Absolutely. And I'm a very spiritual person. I'm a spiritual coach and I do intuitive readings and healing and everything else. And so I see it a lot with people where maybe they've got a narcissistic parent, or maybe they are in a very challenging relationship, or they might have a family member that is just so totally toxic. And at the same time, they need to get away. There's guilt and there's pain of, I need to get away from this. And it's different. If it's a colleague at work, you can just change jobs. But if this is your family or your partner, that is the challenge, then it's not so easy to walk away. And if you can walk away, and if that's the only option, then brilliant. But sometimes we have to just step back and go, I'm going to change how I respond to you. I'm going to change how you affect me. I'm not going to keep playing this same dynamic, which is traumatizing me, killing me, making me ill, whatever it might be. And so we can look to not engage in that behavior or that communication that's causing the problem. So, for instance, with me, with a critical parent, I've stopped trying to be perfect. I've realized that they are showing their love when they're criticizing me because they want me to be the best person I can be. Maybe that's to stop me getting bullied, or maybe that's to stop people not liking me, or whatever it might be. But that's in their head, and that doesn't work for me because it's draining when someone is constantly on your case, constantly telling you that whatever you've done is not good enough. And without being dramatic, there were times when I was a teenager where I actually called the Samaritans because I was just thinking that killing myself was the only way to get out of the negative situation I was in. And I'm sure that my parents did not mean for that to be the case. But at that age, I wasn't old enough to pull them on their behavior. Whereas now, I wouldn't put up with that behavior. So as an older person looking back, and based on all the training I've done, I know that I could deal with that completely differently if it were the case now, if I was in that situation. But if you've never been in that situation and you don't have the training that I've got, and you're in that situation, it can feel very powerless, and it can feel as though the world is against you and that you've got absolutely no option. And that isn't always the truth of the matter. That's just the way that the brain perceives it.
But we are also conditioned into this blind loyalty, right? Especially around family. I remember when I cut my father off about 13 years ago, like I cut him off cold, zero contact. And we have only communicated once in that 13 years, and that was because my granny died. And I remember the anger that was thrown towards me, as if, how dare you cut your father off? But we are conditioned into this blind loyalty, and for some reason, people tend to believe that no matter what, you still have to stay in circumstances that are very unhealthy for you. So oftentimes, when it does come down to a decision like that, it's often not supported because people just don't understand how detrimental relationships of that kind can be. Like in my case, when I look back at the way my relationship with my father shaped every decision that I made with man, and there was zero ownership of that, how could I hold on to that relationship that I was literally pouring out all of my pain and anger, and he somehow became a victim in that circumstance. I couldn't continue to do that. It was either my mental health or the relationship. And oftentimes people believe, well, you can get help with your mental health and then you can work on the relationship. But if the other person is unwilling, you really don't have any foundation to work with, which then creates a bigger problem for you. Because if you're in a space of wanting to heal and wanting to move forward, and you're being denied that by a person who has created harm and pain for you, it often sets us back, right? Because then we create another narrative around that.
I mean, if that was drugs or alcohol, for instance, if you were in that environment and you couldn't get away from it, you're going to go and have therapy and then you're going to come home or back to work or whatever the environment is, and you're going to be sitting there with the drugs or the alcohol or the food if it's a food addiction or whatever. That's no good. And I think this is why retreats work really well, because you are out of your environment, you're away from your people, and you've got that space to morph into who you want to be. You've got that space to get perspective on everything that's been happening and everything that you're trying to change. Whereas when you're in the middle of it, you're just trying to survive it or get through it, and it's just like reinfecting you. Okay. And it's very true what you say, that if somebody isn't going to change, because let's say, for instance, with your dad, if he kind of didn't think he was the problem and that the problem was all you, he's going to go, "Well, nothing wrong with me, I'm fine." So why would he want to go and change? Okay. Whereas I believe that we should always look to ourselves to find out what's going on. And some of your viewers may not be spiritual, so apologies. But my belief is that we are born and our soul brings trauma from previous lives, whether that's the trauma of our life itself, the trauma of passing, the trauma of grief, or whatever it might be. And so we are born with things that our new parents can trigger. So if you're born with a fear of abandonment because everyone died and abandoned you in a previous life, you're already starting on the back foot. And you might get emotionally abandoned because your parents divorce and one of them has to move out. And then you're being triggered on the abandonment, but they didn't start it. They've just opened it all up again. And so it's not even as simple as you're the problem. It's you're triggering this other problem that I've got, and you have to deal with both. And then obviously it's down to what our brain starts to tell us that is true about our life. Like, I'm not good enough. Everything that happens will just reinforce that I don't believe I'm good enough, or that nobody loves me, everybody leaves me. And so we can step back and do the work on all of that so that these people don't trigger us and we can be around them without it being toxic. But I don't think everybody can do that. I don't believe everybody has that strength or that ability.
And to even add another layer to what you said, being born with trauma, and then we're dealing with other people and their trauma, right? Which is often unseen, right? And on top of that, trauma gets passed on by generation as well. So you're dealing with trauma from multiple angles, oftentimes. And it's no wonder it becomes so all-consuming and hard to navigate, especially with our tools. And then the other thing that you mentioned was like being able to navigate the triggers. I think sometimes people believe that, okay, well, I've gone through a healing process, I've worked on me, I should never be triggered again. And I feel like the reason why I believe there isn't like a signpost of healed is because it's the layers are so dynamic in such that you heal one layer and you're learning to navigate from that space. And then you're introduced to a new stimuli, you're introduced to a new element of yourself, which then forces you to have to re-examine how you are navigating your trauma once again. So it's while you may have the tools, while you may be doing well, at every step of evolution, there is still this uncovering of things that we may not have touched just yet because the circumstances or the environments around us haven't brought out that level of trauma yet.
And a lot of people think, oh, well, I did the work on that 10 years ago, that's sorted out now. No, because we're like an onion and you peel the layer, and it could be 10 years before something triggers you to go, ow, that hurts, where did that come from? And then you have to do some more work, and then there's some more work and some more work. And the work that I do, we like to go to the root of the problem rather than starting from today and erasing bit by bit going backwards, because that can end up re-traumatizing people. Whereas when we go to the point of origin, like that first time that you were made to feel like you weren't good enough, you erase the whole lot. And so then you can stop the triggering because you've gotten rid of the root event. And so it really depends what's caused it. And I'm still doing my self work. I'm 52 and I'm still doing the self work. And I know that I'll be doing it until the day I die. And then when I get over there, I'll be doing some more. So I don't even think about the fact that it will end at some point, because it won't. And I know that might depress some people, but there's always something, because we're getting traumatized on many different levels day in, day out. Whether that's looking at social media and going, I'm not as pretty as her, or I'm not as slim as her, or they've got nicer hair than me, or they sing better than me, or whatever it might be. And even just things at work, your boss might promote someone over you, and that might leave you going, I'm not good enough. But actually, you didn't realize they were promoting this person to get rid of them because they're trouble and they're getting moved to another office. All you're seeing is, well, how did they get the promotion that I didn't? There's so much that's happening on a daily basis that our brain makes up a story about and then tells us that this is now truth. And then that dictates our behavior from that point going forwards.
And the sad thing is, because we don't have enough of these conversations, most people don't even recognize that they have been traumatized, right? Like, let's take COVID, for instance. This was a worldwide collective traumatic event that people are still processing to today, right? And will probably process for years without the understanding that this was a traumatic event and there are ways in which to navigate that. A lot of us have dismissed it and just going on with our lives, but not recognizing now I have social anxiety, which I didn't have before. Now I have this, which I didn't have before. Not recognizing that this was the source, right? And it's been very interesting to see how people have navigated COVID, even years later, because like I know there are some people when as soon as they hear of an outbreak now, which, COVID isn't going to go anywhere, but as soon as they hear of an outbreak, they completely shut down. And then when you might mention, like, maybe you should talk to somebody about that. No, it's nothing wrong. I'm just protecting myself. No, this is a trauma response, you know?
Absolutely. And they reckon that the therapist rooms are going to be full in 5 to 10 years of people who are still suffering the aftereffects of COVID. And you're right, that's definitely going to be a thing, but it's already there. And you've only got to look to the animals. Like, so many people went and got cats and dogs during lockdown, and a load of those now are being put in homes because of the economic situation. They can't afford to feed them. They can't even afford to feed themselves, which is, tragic in 2025. But so many animals have got separation anxiety because they had their human there 24/7. And so when some people had to go back to work, the animals couldn't cope with it because they've had attention 24/7. Imagine how much worse it is for humans, because we're used to having so much more control and going places and doing things. And certainly the mental health situation has exploded even more since lockdown. But I'm seeing what I call post-lockdown blues. And we went into lockdown and we wanted normality. Then we sort of got normality and then went back into lockdown and then came back out again. And then this halfway house came because a lot of people stayed working from home, but the rest of life went back to normal. I'm seeing the people now that want the good parts of lockdown, like the time freedom, the money freedom, the lack of pressure, because a lot of people had a lot less pressure on them. But they've got the toxicity of this life that they realize they're not happy in, and they don't know what to do. And so they're in this kind of limbo where they kind of want the good bits of lockdown and the good bits of freedom, but they don't really know how to make that happen. And so I'm working with a lot of people trying to get them to deal with that and unpick all of that so that they can create the life that they do want and be happy. And so it's actually been very, very messy for a lot of people for the last 5 years.
And that clarity comes with freedom as well, because oftentimes we walk around without any recognition of what we want, because we're in autopilot half the time, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
so we Bible. Haven't sat back and considered what it is that we want, which means that we're far away from it because we aren't taking action towards that. And that being able to understand how you can get clarity, because oftentimes it's, well, I don't even know how to figure that out, right? Like, it's so freeing. And I wish that for so many people, simply because it's something, until you hit that wall, most times, it's not something we consider. And it's definitely something that we struggle to navigate on our own, particularly behind traumatic events.
Absolutely. And I think you made a good point in there, whether you meant to or not, that most people are in survival mode day in, day out, because they're just so busy getting on. They're not taking the time to process the losses of lockdown or the job changes or the whole situation. And for a lot of people, having that time in lockdown was toxic, because it was like, oh my God, I've got nothing to do but sit and think about how my life sucks. And so now people have just gone back to anaesthetizing by scrolling on their phones, watching videos on YouTube, mindlessly watching TV and everything else that we do to not think about the problem. And so I do believe that a lot of people don't have that space to sit and go, right, what's wrong with my life? What am I going to do about it? What do I need to change about me? Because everything starts with us. And then you've got those that had far too much time on their hands, and that didn't work for them because they didn't want to sit and take a long look. There's no one size fits all solution, but I do believe it's better to face it and acknowledge, do you know what? I hate my job, but it pays really well. And I can take that money and I can bring up my kids in the way I want, or I can have the holidays that I want, or I can have the expensive toys that I want, whatever the reality is. And it's all about perspective. Whereas if we just go, oh, I hate my job and it's horrible and life is miserable, that's even more traumatizing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have that space to take a long, hard look, I think that's when we can find a perspective that does sit well with us. And if it doesn't, it's time to change, whether that's your relationship, whether that's your job, whether it's a financial situation, health situation. When we've got the space, we can go, okay, I don't like what I've got. What do I want instead? And how do I make it happen? And I know that when I was going through all of my rubbish, I didn't have the emotional bandwidth or the maturity, to be fair, to sit and do that. Whereas now I can. And I think that's a skill we could have done with being taught at school, to have that self-awareness, to sit and think, not to beat yourself up and go, oh, I'm a terrible person because I did this and did that, or didn't do this, didn't do that. But just, do you know what? I don't like the fact that I get angry so quickly. So why do I get angry so quickly? Oh, it's a defense mechanism, right? So why do I have that defense mechanism? Oh, because I had critical parents.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, I don't even want to get into a conversation about the school system, but I will say this. It would benefit generations if they reviewed the curriculum and gave us life skills. And life skills is being able to navigate mental health issues, learning how to love ourselves, because self-love is such a buzzword. No one knows how to do it until they hire somebody to help, right?
You
But
just
these are
know that you've
things.
got
Yes,
to
exactly. But these are things, just like budgeting and everything else, that we need every day in our lives. And wouldn't it be the perfect opportunity to learn at school age so we don't get to 40 completely falling apart and losing our minds because we don't have these basic human tools?
And society is actually set up to work against us. And I've only just thought about this whilst we've been talking. We've got parents, if you go back over the generations, the working class people worked so hard, there was no time for anything else. And now we've got all the mod cons, we've got so much freedom, we've got so much more authority over our own lives than we've probably ever had in the history of mankind. But I'm lucky that I'm of the generation where my mum cooked, whereas the kids these days, a lot of the parents have never been shown how to cook. The supermarkets and the media don't want you to cook, they want you to buy the food that they're producing. So there's no incentive to cook. And a lot of the skills that we've just been talking about, our parents don't have them. So they can't give them to us, but our lives are becoming all about work and the system using us for their own ends. Because basically, if you think about it, school is just basically one long apprenticeship getting us ready to go into the corporate world and work for the businesses. So they don't want us having life skills because then we're going to go, well, I don't want to go and get into that trap like my parents and my grandparents. I want to do something different. I'm a well-adjusted person and I don't need to do that. So I can actually see now that the whole system is geared up almost to make us automatons so we don't sit and think, we don't sit and question. Okay. So there's a lot of conflict around that because if you look at the influencers and you look at the people that are doing everything online and they're not doing a 9 to 5 and they're not part of the system, they are actually showing other people you don't have to do the 9 to 5 and be part of the system. So the two are like bashing heads because the system wants you to do it their way. So it's interesting when you look at it from a completely different angle.
I always come across as a probably a loon because I homeschool my kids, and I'm just saying this. Like, I probably mention it way too much on this. I probably need to start a podcast about homeschooling and why I do it. But I smile as you say that, right? Because the mentality, that conveyor belt of success that we are taught, is ingrained in every aspect of our society. And the people who tend to do well on the outside of that tend to have been the disruptors in the school system, the ones who question things that everyone else is like, well, why are you questioning this and not going along with the norm? The ones who had resistance to that group thought. And when people ask me, why do you homeschool your girls? And I tell them, because I'm not raising employees. I'm not. Like, I'm not saying that my children will never work, but I want them to come with a mindset of a business owner, because a business owner's mindset is inherently different from an employee mindset. And a lot of people
Absolutely.
don't recognize that. So we're going to go back to trauma, because I always get excited when it ends up here. And that is because I was immensely traumatized in the school system, right? Like, the school system is part of my trauma journey, right? So it's all entwined because of the control that we relinquish because we believe that we need to.
And I agree. When I see a lot of clients that have been traumatized by the school system, it's not necessarily the teacher's fault. And of course, they've got their own baggage as well. But it's, this thing that we have in the UK about picking on one of the kids and making them read out loud. So many adults will not do public speaking. They won't even get up and do a presentation at work because they remember being five and all the classmates laughing at them, which is, child perspective, oh, ha, ha, they stumbled over the word, let me laugh at them. Or they couldn't say that word, ha, let's laugh at them. Then you've got the sports team. There's always someone who's going to be the last one to be picked. Whether it's just a numbers game or whether it's because they're terrible at sports, whatever it might be, who wants to be the kid that's going, nobody loves me, I'm the last one on the team, and I'm nobody wants me, and I feel really awful, or they're being laughed at, or whatever it is. And so I work with so many people that have been traumatized by school, where they've been called out by a teacher and they hadn't actually done anything wrong, it was the kid next to them. Or the homework scenario where, I don't know, dad's lost the homework, but the kid's the one getting the grief from the teachers and the punishment and the cane and whatever. And some teachers going back a long time just really should have been jail keepers. I mean, my partner tells me all sorts of stories about his school teachers, but he was at school in the 60s. Whereas I didn't go till the 70s and they were much nicer by then. But yeah, there's a lot of trauma come from the school system, whether they meant to or not. And a lot of the time, trauma is not intentional. Our parents don't mean to traumatize us. Our teachers don't mean to traumatize us. Our siblings don't necessarily mean to traumatize us. But it does happen. And, it's a human thing that we interpret the world around us. And we don't generally interpret it in an empowering, positive way. Our brain, for some reason, seems to be wired to mostly interpret it as a negative or a put down, and it ends up making us feel unworthy and not good enough.
Absolutely. Tracy, I have enjoyed this conversation.
Well, me too.
Thank you. So tell us a bit more about the work that you do and then how we can find you online.
Okay, so I'm a spiritual coach and a psychic, and I work with people either doing readings because I can help people heal through a reading. Sometimes you just need insight, and that can bring healing. I also do coaching, and I help people get rid of their health problems because our health problems are rooted in the emotional trauma that we've had. Okay, so whether it's fibromyalgia, migraines, whatever, we can get rid of it. Okay. I also train people in their own spiritual development, and that can be a great way to release trauma because anything that's there from a spiritual point of view, you can work to get rid of it. So I come from all sorts of different angles. I'm on most social media platforms as either Tracy Fance or Tracy Fance Soul Healer, but my website is tracyfance.com and all the links to my socials are on there. And I love sharing content with people and helping them to help themselves because it's only one of me. And so there's lots of resources. I've got a mailing list and I've got a free development group. And so there's lots of ways that we can work together to get people where they want to be.
So I'll make sure all of that information is in the show notes. So before we wrap it all up, do
Okay.
give us one key takeaway that the audience can action.
Okay. I believe that journaling is the most essential tool because when we get our thoughts into our journal, it's illuminating. We can see the patterns, we can see our beliefs, and it's then that we can go, well, I don't understand why I keep saying that. I need to change that. And so we can change what we say so we give ourselves a different story. I do have a free journaling guide. If anybody wants it, they can just message me and I'll sort that out for them. So I think taking the time to journal, even if it's only 5 minutes a day, just reflecting on something like the mood that you've gotten out of bed with, or why is it Mondays I'm always angry? Because Mary in the office is always a total cow on a Monday and I go in ready for a fight. You stop going in ready for a fight. You don't trigger her. She doesn't trigger you. And there's no more rows on a Monday. So, journal, journal, journal.
Well, you heard it here, audience. Take some time to journal and reflect on your thoughts and your beliefs, and the narratives that you are holding. Tracy, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. And audience, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose, because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken, you're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it, don't numb it, move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.